You could say the Skirmerhorn put Nashville's orchestra on the map, even for people more interested in country music.
Looks like a nice building. Is it kind of new?
Becky Bach is from Dallas. She came to CMA Music Fest armed with a list of must-see landmarks, including the Symphony Hall. And yes, to answer her question, the building's gala opening was only 7 years ago. But standing on the sidewalk, a tourist can't appreciate the feature that makes 40-year symphony veteran Norma Rogers call the Skirmerhorn a Cadillac.
You could achieve things which you couldn't achieve before, and the audiences could hear it.
The quietest, most intricate passages carry as clearly as loud, bombastic ones. That quality has attracted a laundry list of classical music superstars like Yo-Yo Ma and Emmanuel Axe.
James Galway kept asking, well, can I come and play in the hall?
The idea that a world-class concert hall could help the orchestra become world-class itself is what drove the push to erect the Skirmerhorn.
What was supposed to be a 300-year treasure.
Mercedes Jones feels like the building's mother. From the furnaces in the basement to the carvings in its pediments, she oversaw every detail of construction and finished on time and on budget. Meanwhile, the symphony's ticket sales shot up and money poured in, almost enough to completely pay for it all.
Everything kept falling into place so well. You knew it was meant to be.
But then came a decision that longtime symphony goer Glenn Locklear, and plenty of others, now question. To gamble the lion's share of that money by investing it in an endowment.
I couldn't believe that they didn't spend $120 million to raise for the building. I can't believe they didn't spend that on the building. I can't conceive that.
When we saw the original financial projections, you could say, with lots of hard work, we can meet this.
At the time, Sally Levine was on the Symphony Board's Finance Committee. They thought they could afford to set those millions aside and let them make money in the stock market. Yes, the operating budget would double just from moving into the building, but they'd also make more money. Income from renting out the facility, higher ticket sales, and more charitable gifts from the community.
If everything went as expected, it was very likely doable.
If everything went as expected.
Stocks hit their lowest levels in 12 years. Investors
the market fell as if down a well.
More than 20 feet of water covered the heart of operations of the Skirmerhorn, coming to this stairwell.
The symphony's plan did not allow for an endowment that bled money, or using it to pay for millions in flood repairs. It certainly didn't have room for donations, its primary source of income, to drop by half in the recession. Those contributions were only supposed to go up.
Orchestras seem to believe a myth, which is that fundraising could be infinite. You know, there's no end to what you could go out and raise.
Gregory Sando writes about the classical music world. He says it's industry standard to operate without a financial cushion, or to hope that a few guardian angels will swoop in and save the day with a handful of giant checks.
Those gifts are most likely not going to be repeated.
Last year's donations to the Nashville Symphony would not cover their budget from a decade ago when they were renting TPAC. And while expenses have been slashed, they can only drop so much as long as the orchestra is operating a building the size of a city block. But musician Norma Rogers says she can't be anything but optimistic that things will still work out one way or another.
I don't believe that we will lose the hall to music. I really can't imagine that we would. I don't think anyone in their right mind would destroy that.
And she certainly can't entertain any thoughts that the symphony itself might be dragged under by the grand music palace it calls home. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Nina Cardona.